The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Just a few moments ago, you can hear around me emergency vehicles heading towards the scene. Now, this could have been an aircraft, or it could have been something internal. It appears to be something coming from the outside due to the nature of the opening on about the...
That's the building?
Yeah.
Holy man!
Are you there? So I just saw the hugest explosion.
Sir, right back, further, a little bit further.
What?
Can't stay here. I'm sorry, you gotta go. Go. You got it clear. Let's go.
Let's go. We got another guy.
Dad, what is that falling? Oh my God, don't be a person.
Where?
Oh my God.
Where? That right there?
What are those big, heavy things falling at a rate that a piece of paper would not fall? Oh my God!
No way.
Like that, Caroline, do you see that? Do you see this thing?
Yeah, I see it, I see it. I mean, who's to say it's not like a chair? Regardless, it's going to be so dangerous at that base. Obviously. Oh my God! Oh my God!
Oh my God!
Oh my God!
What?
Oh my God! It's terrorist attack!
That is
oh
God! What do we do?
A second plane hit?
A second plane hit.
That's incredible. That's on purpose then.
That's
about the situation here in New York City at the World Trade Center. We're trying to bring you his comments live as best we can quickly here.
To hunt down and to find those folks who committed this act. Terrorism against our nation will not stand. And now, if you join me in a moment of silence.
President Bush speaking from an elementary school in Florida.
May God bless the victims, their families, and America. Thank you very much.
Please come.
Studio, you on with me? This is Chopper 5. Studio, you copy? Studio, the two World Trade just collapsed. Copy?
my God.
Floors collapse down.
Everybody's going.
A 9 minute and 11 second tribute to 9/11, 24 years ago today, hard to believe. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. If you'd like to email the program, you can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. We'd love to hear from you. You can also leave some comments at the Rumble channel, rumble.com/Trumpet Daily. I wanted to lead with that because I feel like it does provide some important context to everything that we've been seeing this week. I mean, this is, on the one hand, you've got all these uplifting, inspiring anniversaries. Yesterday and today, both programs started off with so much positivity and joy and growth. And yet you also have the real world 24 years ago today. It's interesting when you look at the contrast. I mean, it almost seems like a different America. September 12th, 2001, the day after. Now, again, it didn't last for very long, but you had Congress coming together and they were singing songs together. They were praying together. The country, you can see it there with even some of the victims. People just willing. It didn't matter about race or political party. Certainly not on that day. Now, again, we had articles following 9/11 at the Trumpet magazine that said, you know, the temporary rush to fill the churches, to attend church services, that little boost didn't last for very long. And before long, we returned back to our bitter rivalries. But just look at today. Look at the reaction, whether on the right or the left, to the assassination of Charlie Kirk. I mean, what a different time we're in. Just almost moments after he had been shot dead, you had just all kinds of crazy commentary, some suggesting that he deserved it or that it's Donald Trump's fault. It makes you think of the verse in 2 Timothy 3 where there's not even natural affection for a fellow American. We are so bitterly, deeply divided. I mean, civil war is coming. Civil war is coming. October 7, remember, that's just 2 years ago. That's Israel's 9/11. That was 9/11 times 10, times 20 for little Israel. And they've been fighting back ever since. And as you know from this program over the summer with those interviews we had with those Israeli commentators, one reason they were so vulnerable leading up to October 7 was because of how deeply divided they were. And they still are. It's amazing that Benjamin Netanyahu survived politically. And you still see what he's going up against. But what does division internally lead to? As I say, just step back, coming back to some of these momentous anniversaries. For God's work, mystery of the ages, the 25 years on God's land, the last hour. I mean, 9/11 was just a few months after my father spoke on May 5th about the last hour, entering into the last hour prophetically in the last hour book that came from those messages. He talks about two dramatic signs of the last hour. Listen to this. He says, after 6 years, we won the 19 works in that court battle. I mean, the last hour happened, we entered into it right in the middle of the court case years, the fight for mystery of the ages. That was between 1997 and 2003. He talks about the court battle. God through us conquered the Antichrist. Again, we won that battle only a short time after God revealed this new truth about, or from the epistles of John, about the last hour, that is. So this revelation is for the last hour. Now we can prophesy again to this world with a message that it can understand. I mean, we can take mystery of the ages to this world. We can give them mystery of the ages. Just like I said yesterday on the show, I mean, if you've got the Bible and you've got mystery of the ages, which brings all of the puzzle pieces together, I mean, you've got the perfect 1-2 punch, spiritually speaking. You've got enough to be fed the truth, and then the truth can set you free. But how many people want to dig into it? How many people truly value these textbooks? That's what the Bible is. It's the instruction manual. It's God giving us a manual and telling us this is how you live. This is how you live. People aren't living that way. That's why the world is the way it is. That's why we see so many gruesome attacks. And just in the last week, whether it's the poor woman that was stabbed to death on that train in Charlotte, Or the Jews that were shot in the head on a bus in North Jerusalem? And now Charlie Kirk, shot dead. He's on a, we talked about true education yesterday on the show. The Wonderful World of Tomorrow's Education. That's what we titled it. And here's Charlie Kirk going to a university campus in Utah. And he's gunned down by a deranged murderer. And who knows how coordinated it was. How many people were in on it? They still can't even find the gunman. A political hit job. After all of the vile hatred, especially during the Trump years. I mean, listen to what they say about Donald Trump and supporters of Trump. And President Trump called them out yesterday. And they didn't like it. Of course they didn't. They want to blame him. It's his rhetoric that's causing this. And then the other side says, no, it's your rhetoric. Where is it leading? How does this end? It doesn't end well, sorry to say. The spiritual struggle, according to John, my father wrote, is the primary battle in the last hour. I believe the 9/11 terrorist attack dramatically signaled the collapse of America, Britain, and the Middle East Jews as we begin the last hour. It was a dramatic signal. I mean, again, don't drift into a false sense of security because of the temporary resurgence. Just think back to 9/11. Look back at the last 24 years and see or ask yourself and be objective in your response. Is America in a stronger, more prosperous, more peaceful condition, or is it worsening? What about for the UK? What about for Australia? I told you about Melbourne the other day and the machete attack are there with just these kids chopping people up on the streets. It used to be a safe city. People used to flock there to move. What is happening to our nations? And Utah, of all places, you would think that surely there'd be a small university campus in a small town in Utah. You would think that would be a safe place to go. Not in today's America. Not today. Even natural affection is gone. And you see it in the commentary. This is a montage we put together following the assassination yesterday. You might, you know, if you have small kids, it's not the graphic video that was going around. It's a little bit of a farther out perspective. But then you see following it just some of the reaction in the media, particularly from the radical left. And you just shake your head thinking this is going to escalate. It's been escalating. Here's clip one.
I'm going to give you some credit. Do you know how many mass shooters there have been in America over the last 10 years?
Counting or not counting gang violence?
Great.
Get down.
Charlie Kirk assassinated. The president breaking the news. The great and even legendary Charlie Kirk is dead. He was shot in the neck in the middle of the quad, sitting underneath a banner that said the American comeback. We know one round was fired and reportedly from 200 yards away, just 50 yards more than Butler from a nearby campus building. Charlie immediately lost a lot of blood after the bullet hit his neck and was rushed to the hospital and then was pronounced dead.
Wow. Right here, Rav, at this moment, guys, let's go around the horn, Gene. You were continue on the horrendous news that Charlie Kirk has passed.
Well, my prayers are for Erica, for her children, for his family. This is beyond devastating, Eric.
To my great fellow Americans, I am filled with grief and anger at the heinous assassination of Charlie Kirk on a college campus in Utah. Charlie inspired millions, and tonight, all who knew him and loved him are united in shock and horror.
Well, what I will say with a caveat, he wasn't admired and loved by all. Oh. So that's an exaggeration, but the truth is, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Sorry, Matt, let me finish. Go ahead.
It doesn't matter.
Charlie Kirk is a divisive figure, polarizing, lightning rod, whatever term you want to use. Why?
Well, he's one of MAGA's most prominent voices online. He hosts a near daily podcast. He opines on almost everything. He's been very closely aligned with the president since his initial run for office in 2015, 2016. And his ties to Trump really elevated his own brand. He was really quite young as an activist when the president launched his initial campaign. And he has kind of ridden along with MAGA since 2016 and built up a massive, massive brand of his own. His group has brought in tons and tons of money.
After one of the Doge employees was allegedly attacked in Washington, D.C., that's what Donald Trump used as justification to send in federal troops into Washington, D.C. to get things under control. The carjacking situation, he used that. And I know it's hard to predict the future, Mark, but you can imagine the administration using this as a justification for something.
I must admit, I'm at a loss to guess as to what happens next.
Political violence, unfortunately, has been ratcheting up in this country. And I think there are people who are fomenting it in this country. I think the president's rhetoric often foments it. We've seen the January 6th rioters who clearly, you know, have tripped a new era of political violence.
We don't know any of the full details of this. We don't know if this was a supporter shooting their gun off in celebration, or so we have no idea.
The chair would ask that all members present in the chamber and those in the gallery please rise for a moment of prayer for Charlie Kirk and his family. Let's wait a minute. Wait a minute. The House will be in order. The House will be in order. Shh. The House will be in order.
But following up with what was just said, he's been one of the most divisive, especially divisive younger figures in this, who is constantly sort of pushing this sort of hate speech or sort of aimed at certain groups. And I always go back to hateful thoughts lead to hateful words, which then lead to hateful actions. People just, you can't stop with these sort of awful thoughts you have and then saying these awful words and not expect awful actions to take place.
Matt.
And that's the unfortunate environment we're in.
Yeah, he deserved it. That's what Dowd said there at the last. It was so beyond the pale that even MSNBC had to come out and fire him. He deserved it. I mean, if he's going to, and listen, everybody, you look at all the tributes. I didn't follow him that closely, Charlie Kirk, but everybody that knew him said he was just a wonderful young man, a family man. He loved his wife. He went to university campuses. Many have written, it was like going into the lion's den. I mean, the man had some courage. I don't think there's a lot of reason you should go in and try to convert a woke university student, but leave that aside. He was trying to spread the message. He was trying to convert young people to conservatism. And that's why the radical left hated him so much. It makes you think of last summer. The shooter yesterday was further away than Crooks was from Trump. It shows how miraculous that was last summer, July 13th. God intervened to save Donald Trump. Maybe God's trying to get our attention and say, look, remember what I did last year? Remember the miracle? How have you reacted? How have you responded? Here again is another tragedy, a horrific one at that. And it exposes the hatred that we have for one another. What has happened to the American family? I'm giving a lecture this afternoon in marriage and family on the subject of just being humble. Where's the humility? Where's, at least after 9/11, you had some people crying out to God and returning to church services for a few weeks at least. Now you don't even have an ounce of it. Now it's just, well, he look, if he has that kind of rhetoric, then you've got to expect violence. And so many of these leading voices on the left have been calling for violence openly. We've got to take to the streets. The montages showed up again yesterday. Nancy Pelosi saying, I just don't understand why there aren't uprisings all over the country. Maybe there will be, she said, hopefully. Maxine Waters calling for violence. Barack Obama. Yeah, if they bring a knife, bring a gun. That's the way Obama talked. That's the way his wingman talked. Eric Holder. Oh, yes. Obama offers his condolences yesterday. And just look at the comments underneath. People know. I mean, that's one, that is one positive component to these tragedies that are just happening like rapid fire now. Is that people have awakened to what Barack Obama did to this country. And that's all in there in America Under Attack. You can read the whole story. But that's not the way people received Barack Obama, the dear leader, back in 2009. Oh, they loved him. They swooned. On the left, on the right, everybody. This was a chance for America to be healed. No, you step back further. You go back to 9/11, 2001. And like my father says, it was a signal from God. A signal that we had entered into the last hour. And a dramatic signal of the collapse of America, Britain, and Judah. And it's happening. It's happening. My father had a trumpet. By the way, you just look at some of the commentary last night, more on the conservative side of things, and people are calling for a religious revival, and then they're also calling on Americans to fight back. I mean, this aligns perfectly with what we've been saying. Based on the sure word of prophecy. I'm not sure these prophetic developments can accelerate any faster than they already are. We better get ourselves ready for what's coming. My father wrote last night, Kirk was 31 years old. He was a prominent conservative supporter of Donald Trump. Some demented person thought that was reason enough to murder him in broad daylight. And then my father says, last summer, radicals tried to kill Donald Trump at least twice and failed. God miraculously saved the president. Why did he not intervene in this case? I mean, shouldn't we ask that? Shouldn't we humble ourselves and say, what has happened to our country? What has happened? Why didn't God intervene in this case? I mean, from everything that I've read, This was a young man that was deeply religious, a lot more so, I would imagine, than Donald Trump. As they say, a family man, a Sabbath keeper as well. I mean, he could cite chapter and verse if he got into a discussion on theology or religion. Very well read, self-taught in many ways. Now he's dead, and his poor family is left to suffer, his little children left to grow up without their father. When we're living in a society where there's been a complete and total breakdown in the family, I mean, this is almost too much to even stomach. You need this. You need family. He was out there preaching to young people saying, look, stop partying and get married and have children. I can't imagine the devil liked that message very much. A family builder in a nation where the family has disintegrated. Wait until we find out about the shooter, the killer, the murderer. Hopefully we'll find out more about him than we did Crooks last summer. But I bet there's some family dysfunction in his background. We'll see. My father says we're still reeling from the footage just released of a shocking murder on a public train in Charlotte, North Carolina. After such appalling attacks, we ought to stop and think about why they are happening. Why is this happening? Why is there so much violence? I don't want to sound like a broken record here, But there's been so much violence, I keep going back to Genesis 6 and Luke 17. And it says that before the flood, the earth was filled with violence. There's just violence everywhere. Where is this leading? Jesus said it would be just like the days before the flood in these last days. And yet most people just brush aside the Bible. They don't believe it. They don't believe the flood even happened. They don't heed the warning of Jesus Christ. They don't humble themselves. And so we're heading for more violence on a mass scale. And as hard as it is to watch, I mean, almost the 9/11 tribute there, it nearly brings you to tears. And in some instances, you don't even want to watch footage of someone being assassinated and blood just gushing out of a human body. But at the same time, sometimes maybe we need to look at a little bit of reality so that we're sobered, so that we're humbled, so that we're prepared emotionally and spiritually for what's coming. I read that article earlier this week about the terrorist attack. Initially, the report in Jerusalem was that it was at a bus stop. And you kind of see the violence in your mind's eye from afar. You know, two gunmen, they're up on a hill, they're gunning people down at a bus stop. And that's horrific enough. Don't get me wrong. But then I read one of the articles on this show, and it was actually, according to the author, it was on a bus where the guy's just walking up to victims, shooting them in the face. I mean, right at point blank range. What kind of demonic activity are we talking about here? And then even that, we sugarcoat it, saying, well, there's some kind of mental illness. Maybe they're on some medication. No, there are demons involved in this. There are demons that want to murder and assassinate people. There are demons that want to kill Jews. And we should stop and ask, why are these events happening? And why are they happening with greater frequency? My father wrote after they attempted to assassinate Trump last year, he said, these events should cause Americans to be asking a lot of probing questions. It's important to understand why God is even allowing these attacks. This truly is a curse on our nation. And Bible prophecy shows that though God is going to temporarily save the nation through this modern-day Jeroboam, the curses on America are actually going to intensify as long as America fails to turn to God in repentance. Now, that's not a popular message right there, but it's the truth. It's the truth. My father said last night, we failed to learn the lesson from the attempts on President Trump's life. Our nation just went back to its sinful lifestyle. And so he explained. He explained last year, the sickness is setting in. The cancer is spreading. There are people in America, and you could say, well, it's a minority. It's not everybody. But there are a lot of powerful people in America that want civil war. They want violence. You've heard it on this show. There's a lot of powerful people that want to protect criminals. Listen to this montage from CNN as they talk about Charlie Kirk earlier this week, before he was assassinated, he talked about this black demon-possessed killer on that train in Charlotte. And how he went after this woman because she was white. I mean, he said so. He said so. And Charlie Kirk reported on it. He gave the true report of what happened. And this is how CNN reacted. Clip two.
So certain people have been looking for an opportunity to find a case like this, to make a point like this. I want to play, this is Charlie Kirk, why he says this hasn't gotten a lot of attention.
A white Ukrainian refugee was murdered just because she was white. Everybody knows that, obviously. If a random white person simply walked up to and stabbed a nice law-abiding black person for no reason, it would be an apocalyptically huge national story used to impose national sweeping political changes on the whole country. Instead, Megan Basham, no one seems to care when a white woman gets stabbed to the death.
Wow. He said white a lot.
People like Charlie Kirk, Van, they've been looking for opportunities to make this some sort of like reciprocal George Floyd situation. And that's the part that I think he's almost giving away the game. And it's sad to see a lot of people going along with it.
We don't know how to deal with people who are hurting in the way this man was hurting. Hurt people hurt people. What happened was horrible. But it becomes an opportunity for people to jump on bandwagons. And then for someone like Charlie Kirk, he should be ashamed of himself. No one mentioned the word race, white, black, or anything except him.
This from a man who brings race into the conversation in 2 seconds. If it's some violence carried out against a black individual. How? And here he is. Who is Charlie Kirk to bring race into this? He talks about the killer, the murderer, as being hurt. He has more hatred for Charlie Kirk. I'm talking about Van Jones than he does for this murderer that killed, yes, a white woman, 23 years old. Charlie Kirk was 31. These people, they hate the opposition. And they spew hatred every day. The spirit of murder is another angle to this story. It's an important one because there is a real spirit world. John 8:44 says that the devil, he's the father of murder and lies and deceit. Isn't it interesting that Jesus puts lying there together with murder? So you have all the liars, the talking heads, spewing their hatred, their racism in so many cases. And then you have angry killers, demon-possessed shooters with high-powered rifles. My father said last night, I've written a lot about why God saved President Trump. Prophecy shows that he's saving America from the worst of the damage that was done by enemies within the government. However, the curses on America continue. The hatred, division, and violence that Satan the devil is provoking and inspiring are still boiling. You see it. You saw it right after he was assassinated yesterday. You heard it in the montage we played earlier. Yeah, if he's gonna come out with some controversial rhetoric. You heard CNN say there, well, he sure said white a lot. In their minds, that's hate speech. And so a lot of them, deep, deep, deep down inside, they approve of political hit jobs. Let's just call it like it is. You see, you've already seen posts on social media. Yeah, we shot him in the neck. That's really some of the most sickening stuff you could imagine. And here, coming into today, as I said at the top, talking about true education yesterday, God's truth, the truth of the Bible, the truth that sets us free, the truth that makes you highly educated. And then here we are back in the real world. Today's world, Satan's world. You can see why God is building a new world. And it starts with his church. And he's going to spread his system of education all over the earth. Because that's what this earth needs. Right now, the earth is filled with violence. But soon it's going to be filled with truth. God's truth. It's going to be filled with peace. It's going to be filled with unity. And all these people, they don't know. They're ignorant of God's truth. So it's all politics for them. Think about when their minds will be opened, when the scales will be lifted. I mean, what a wonderful world this will be. The wonderful world tomorrow. I got the title yesterday, The Wonderful World of Tomorrow's Education, from Mr. Armstrong's own book. The wonderful world tomorrow, what it will be like. He describes it in all of its beauty, all of its peace, all of its prosperity. A Garden of Eden utopia, quite unlike what we see in the world today. This was Sky News reacting to some of the left-wing coverage of the tragedy yesterday, clip three.
How dare anybody in media trying to equate it with this both sides, well, everyone's responsible for the rhetoric? No, no, that's not true. There are people on the left who are extremists, and they are putting targets on the back of people that have very mainstream views, views that a couple of years ago were held by the majority. And honestly, in America, one of the suggestions in that grab that you played was that he was divisive because of his links to President Donald Trump, who was a democratically elected president with the majority vote. This manifests broadly across borders. This is a problem that we are seeing all across the world, where we are tolerating the labelling of conservatives as being extremists. Mm. And what do you do if somebody is a far right? And you're saying somebody's far right, by the way. The most furthest right you can be is a Nazi. What do you do to somebody who's a Nazi? You are justifying violence by using that label irresponsibly.
He's right. He's right. You look at even the headlines from the regime media. Look at how many times far right appears in the headlines. Or in the case of the New York Times, Charlie Kirk died yesterday. He died? Can you come up with something a little stronger than that? These people, the whole movement is violent and evil and dangerous. The Trump movement. And that commentator's right in that, look, Donald Trump was democratically elected. He even won the popular vote. He's the most popular politician in America right now. And yet you've got these angry, hate-filled commentators that are there saying that Charlie Kirk was dangerous because of his connection to, wait for it, Donald Trump. It's just more of the same. I mean, this is what we've had a steady diet of in terms of media coverage since he came down the escalator. 10 years ago, it's just like my father said following 9/11, it's a dramatic signal of our oncoming collapse. We're seeing the collapse of our nations. We're seeing an earth or nations filled with violence. Here's a bit more from Sky News, clip four.
It's just absolutely horrific, and it's something that worries me that potentially that kind of extreme viewpoint could be getting more and more mainstream because of outlets that are kind of promoting it and justifying it.
Completely agree.
Yeah, let's take a look at, it's not just MSNBC, it's also people on social media, absolutely disgusting. Let's take a look.
I'm not saying she deserved it, but I'm saying God's timing is always right.
You know, looking at that vision, it just reminds me of Butler last year when Donald Trump had his assassination attempt, and we saw this kind of sick reaction from parts of the far left, people wishing that he had been killed, and now we've got someone actually celebrating Charlie Kirk's death. It's horrific.
Well, what I would say is, if you find yourself on the side that is celebrating the death of a father, just think long and hard about whether that is a side that you want to be on, whether these are people that you want to associate with, because Charlie Kirk isn't the extremist.
No.
If you are suggesting that somebody should be murdered for their political views because of his stance on immigration, you are the extremist, you are the radical, and that is the company that you keep.
The world needs to be re-educated, that's for sure. Salvation is education. You can see why education, true education, is right at the foundation of the wonderful world tomorrow. Those poor young people, they need to be educated in God's way of life. They need to be taught the truth of the Bible. As it is, it's just, I mean, they grow up on a steady diet of hatred and division and strife. President Trump, as I said, for his part, he called them out. Yesterday, the radical left and their violent rhetoric. This is clip five.
This is a dark moment for America. Charlie Kirk traveled the nation, joyfully engaging with everyone interested in good faith debate. His mission was to bring young people into the political process, which he did better than anybody ever, to share his love of country and to spread the simple words of common sense. On campuses nationwide, he championed his ideas with courage, logic, humor, and grace. It's long past time for all Americans and the media to confront the fact that violence and murder are the tragic consequence of demonizing those with whom you disagree day after day, year after year, in the most hateful and despicable way possible. For years, those on the radical left have compared wonderful Americans like Charlie to Nazis and the world's worst mass murderers and criminals. This kind of rhetoric is directly responsible for the terrorism that we're seeing in our country today, and it must stop right now.
And the other side, what do they say? What do they think? They think he's Hitler. So how do you bring the nation together? You know, there was one commentator on Fox News, and Fox has had pretty good coverage. Quite a few emotional tributes to Charlie Kirk, as there should be. He was very prominent. He was a rising star. Some were saying he was going to be a president someday. But they had one guy on there that was saying, regarding the fighting and the division in Congress yesterday, in his mind, he's like, it's just maybe 10%. And, you know, the ones we elect and send off to D.C., I mean, they're kind of, that's not really mainstream. When I look at America, I see 80 or 90% of us unified. Really? He just said we've got to do a better job of suppressing the voice of the 10% that are angry and violent. Well, I don't want to be depressing here with the message today, but this country is not 90% unified. Sorry. It's bitterly divided. Now, Donald Trump did win a majority. There's no getting around that. But look at the opposition. And look at the money behind it. And look at how many people are demon-possessed and willing to go get a rifle and to follow through on this angry, divisive, murderous rhetoric that just flows out of the mouths of commentators and congressional representatives. I mean, you saw the governor of Illinois there. Illinois is one of the biggest states in the union. And he's basically there saying it's Trump's fault. It's Donald Trump's fault that Charlie Kirk got assassinated. I mean, these adults that are twice, three times the age of the ones you just saw in those social media clips, they're just like little children as well. And that's exactly what Isaiah 3 says we would be dealing with in these last days. No leadership, no maturity, just a bunch of children. Angry, bitter, hateful children fighting each other. And the fighting is about to explode in violence, as I said. You listened to some of the commentary yesterday, the immediate reaction on social media. And there's people calling for a religious revival. Again, this squares with Amos 7. And then they're also saying, that's it. This is the tipping point. We're at an inflection point, and we've got to start fighting back. So as I say, where does this lead? Where does this lead to? Listen to this exchange on The Five yesterday, clip 6.
And as Greg said, this hits differently, because Charlie was one of us. And Trump gets hit in the ear. Charlie gets shot dead. They came after Kavanaugh with a rifle to his neighborhood. They went after Musk's cars. They just shot two Jews outside the embassy. Think about it. Scalise got shot, barely survived. It's happening. You got trans shooters. You got riots in LA. They are at war with us. Whether we want to accept it or not, they are at war with us. And what are we going to do about it? How much political violence are we going to tolerate? And that's the question we're just going to have to ask ourselves. Mm-hmm. Now, Charlie would want us to put as much pressure on these people as possible. Dana nailed it. This is unacceptable and has to stop. And it has to stop now. And everybody's accountable. And we're watching what they're saying on television and who's saying what. The politicians, the media, and all these rats out there. This can never happen again. It ends now. Greg's right again. This is a turning point, and we know which direction we're going.
Mm. It's a turning point. It's not going to go quite like so many of these commentators think, though. I mean, there will be some fighting back, but civil war is going to nearly destroy this country, and then we'll leave ourselves wide open for an attack from without on a much larger scale than 9/11. And you saw in the opening montage, you saw how tragic and how horrific that was just 24 years ago when people were staring at their TV screens, just horrified at Americans jumping out of skyscrapers because they were about to be burned to death because of that attack on the Twin Towers, the Pentagon, the other plane that went down in Pennsylvania. We need to be reminded of it from time to time because it's a tiny, tiny, tiny foretaste of what's coming. And your Bible says so. I went through the verses previously in Ezekiel 7, verse 23, make a chain, for the land is full of bloody crimes. Genesis 6 says, as I said, the earth is filled with violence. How do you survive a land that's full of bloody crimes? Well, you better humble yourself and look to God for guidance, for safety, for protection. And then when something like this happens, again, God obviously intervened to save Donald Trump. In this case, that didn't happen. And that should be a sobering wake-up call for all of us. And a reminder, as I said earlier, of what God did to spare Trump. God's trying to get our attention in many, many different ways. Because he wants us to turn to him in humility and in repentance, in faith. He wants us to look to God. I've given you this quote from the Epistles of Peter book. My father wrote, God is going to take mankind to the point where people will know there's no hope in man and that they're willing to heed God's word, the Holy Bible. This is where God is taking us, to this point where we'll be willing finally to look to God, to heed his word, his instructions, to obey his laws. They're all there for our own good, for our own safety and protection. But this is what man has rejected from the very beginning. Going back to Genesis 3, Charlie Kirk used to talk about even the Garden of Eden, the two trees. Human civilization has been cut off from God, except for the precious few that God has called out in advance to further his purpose. But on the wide scale, we've been cut off from God and his Holy Spirit. And this is why the world is the way it is. That's all I have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again tomorrow.